1330 WEBY, Northwest Florida's Talk Radio. This is Your Turn, a live call-in show featuring spirited discussion and debate about issues that matter to the community. Your Turn is sponsored by People's First Community Bank, the best bank in the neighborhood. Stay with us to hear what Northwest Florida thinks. Better yet, call in at 623-1330 and tell us what you think. It's Your Turn here on 1330 WEBY, Northwest Florida's Talk Radio. Now, here's the host of Your Turn.
Good afternoon. My name is Renee Giacchino. I'm corporate counsel for the Center for Individual Freedom, and I'll be your host of this edition of Your Turn, the program that I've dubbed Meeting Nonsense with Common Sense. You're going to want to start dialing right now, 850-623-1330, because my first guest is one undoubtedly that the phone lines will be lit up the entire time. We're joined right now by former Ambassador John Bolton. He served as a United States Permanent Representative to the United Nations from August 2005 to December 2006. He now serves as a Senior Fellow at the American Enterprise Institute. He obviously has a very long and impressive list of things that he has done as a public servant for the United States. He started out as the son of a Baltimore firefighter and was the first person in his family to go to college with scholarships to Yale University and Yale Law School. After his experience at the law school, he went on to hone his diplomatic skills while working with Secretary of State James Baker during the presidency of George H.W. Bush and serving in the administration of President George W. Bush as Undersecretary of State for Arms Control and International Security Affairs. Please welcome to Your Turn, Ambassador John Bolton. Thanks so much for joining us this afternoon.
Well, thank you very much for having me.
We want to talk about your new book, brand new out, something that's probably and should be at the top of everyone's Christmas list. It's called Surrender is Not an Option, Defending America at the United Nations and Abroad. Tell us, is there any hope for the United Nations?
Well, you know, the UN can do some important work providing protection and assistance for refugees and providing humanitarian assistance and some natural disasters, but as a political decision-making body, it really is very ineffective. We can use it as an instrument of American foreign policy from time to time, but we obviously have to be very aware of its limitations, and we have to be on the watch constantly from the efforts of many other governments to try and use the UN to constrain us, to limit what we can do in the world. That obviously is not acceptable.
Well, it seems that there's been scandal after scandal with the United Nations, particularly under the tutelage of Kofi Annan. Do you think it will change now that Kim is in leadership? Do you think that's going to make any difference with Ki-moon in there?
I don't think it'll make a substantial difference, although I think as an individual, Ban Ki-moon is ethical and an honest man. I think that the problems are more than just who's the Secretary General. I think they're institutional, and it's one reason why, as you say, there's scandal after scandal after scandal. It's one reason I concluded that efforts at marginal reform at the UN are just never going to succeed. Every time you fix one thing, something else pops up, and it's why I think the only option for the United States at this point is to switch to purely voluntary contributions rather than paying what they call an assessed contribution, where the U.S. pays 22% of the cost of most U.N. programs, 27% of peacekeeping. We're far and away the largest contributor. What we ought to do is contribute for what we want, and if we don't think something's worthwhile, we just shouldn't pay for it.
Let me back up a little bit, because that's one of the ideas that you flesh out in your book, Surrendering is Not an Option. Now, you're talking about, would it be the number of votes that you would get vis-a-vis how much you pay, or how much you pay,
You could do it two different ways. For example, if we continued to pay 22%, I would argue, like shareholders in a corporation, we should have 22% of the votes. Now, that would be unpopular, since at the UN every country has one vote and they don't like to give it up, and so my response to that would be fine. Every country keeps its one vote, but we make our own decision how much we're going to pay. If we don't think, for example, we should pay for the Human Rights Council, then we don't pay for it. If other governments want to pay for it, that's fine. Once our 22% contribution was thrown in doubt, I think it would have a profound effect on the other governments, because they'd see they're not going to get basically that money is an entitlement.
Okay, Mr. Bolton, as I expected, our phone lines are lit up like crazy. Can we take a couple of calls?
Sure.
Okay. Go ahead, Mark. It's your turn.
Yes, thank you. It's an honor to speak with you, Ambassador. I have
so many questions.
I've tried to limit it here to two of them. With the Russians delivering nuclear fuel to the Iranians for the Bushehr plant, and the Iranians claiming that they want to continue enriching uranium for the, another plant that's only on paper, is this a good thing for us? What's your thoughts on this?
Well, it's very bad. I was quite disappointed to hear the White House say they didn't have any trouble with Russia shipping this fuel to the Bushehr plant. Number one, it's low-enriched uranium, reactor grade, but it can be upgraded to weapons grade by the Iranians. And in addition, when the spent fuel comes out of the reactor, it can be reprocessed to extract the plutonium that's created by the nuclear reaction. And after a sufficient amount is accumulated, that gives Iran the plutonium route to nuclear weapons as well. So I had long tried when I was in the government to convince the Russians not to ship this fuel, and they held off for a long time, for 4 or 5 years, but now they've gone ahead and done it. This might well bring Israel to a decision point whether to do anything about the Bushehr reactor. I'm not privy to any information, but certainly this is a key point for Iran's nuclear program, no doubt about it.
Yes, sir. And another question: the ingrained attitude of the State Department. Is there any way to make the State Department non-partial again, non-political again at the mid to lower levels?
Well, this is a major subject of my book, and I have a lot of thoughts on it. Basically, there's a cultural problem at the State Department. They think they should set foreign policy, not the president, and they're expert at co-opting or seducing political appointees to see things their way. If there is another Republican president after next year, I know it may not be a bell ringer of a campaign issue, but I think the next president has got to make transforming the State Department a priority. We need strong advocates in our diplomatic corps around the world. We shouldn't have people who are embarrassed about defending American interests, and because we suffer when we don't have that. But there are a lot of good people at State with the right kind of incentives. I think they could be turned in the right direction, but if we don't take steps soon, our difficulties will simply increase.
Did Bremer make a huge mistake in disbanding the Iraqi army, and was it Bremer that called the Marines off on the first attack on Fallujah?
You know, I don't know the answer to the second question. I think with respect to the Iraqi army, they had largely disbanded themselves. I wouldn't put the blame on Jerry Bremer. I mean, you might agree or disagree with a lot of his actions in Iraq. I think our biggest mistake was creating the Coalition Provisional Authority to begin with. I think with the benefit of hindsight, what we should have done was turned authority back over to Iraqis much more quickly, almost as soon as we had overthrown Saddam. I think in retrospect, that would have been a better way to proceed.
Ambassador, one last comment. Would you run for the Senate, please?
Thank you. I'm afraid I'm probably not up for the politics in Maryland, but I appreciate your asking.
You know what, Mark? When I was doing some research on the ambassador, there's a movement underfoot, sir. I'm sure you've heard about it. There were lots of things that came up when I Googled about people trying to get you to run for office.
Well, I'm very flattered by it. I really am. And I think next year's presidential election is extremely important from a national security point of view. I know there are many other issues people are concerned about, but the next president is going to face some really serious challenges, and I think we have to look at all the candidates who are out there really on the basis of their foreign and defense policy experience and their views. I just think it's going to be very, very important for us who we pick.
Well, what speaks well is I at least would assume that two of them have read your book, because Senator John McCain's described the book as intelligent, shrewd, direct, and fascinating. John Bolton's new book bears a remarkable resemblance to the man himself. And then Mitt Romney is quoted as saying, "This book about the challenges we face should be a wake-up call for America and the world." So at least you've got some folks out there willing to talk about it, and hopefully they've read this book and have learned quite a bit.
I was very honored they had read it and made those comments.
Yes, the book is called Surrender is Not an Option, Defending America at the United Nations and Abroad. Mark, is it okay if we move on to the next caller?
Yes, thank you for speaking to me, sir.
Okay.
Thank you.
Go ahead, AJ, it's your turn.
Yes, I'd like to ask the ambassador a particular question. The attitude towards the UN right now within the general population is, and we've been saying this for years, is let's pull out of it. It's become a joke. It's become a cesspool for nepotism. Third world dictatorships, all they do is throw stones at us or the Israelis all the time, and a lot of the American public is just getting sick and tired of it. The way we, you know, a lot of people out there are looking at right now, let's create something new for what's called pure democratic nations that meets certain criteria. And tell the rest of those nations, you know, take the UN, take your nepotism, your corruption, your third world mentality and your socialism, go to Europe. That's where you belong. And we'll create something new and unique on pure principles of democracy, may it be republics or constitutional monarchies. But you have a new God frame, something like that. So a lot of people out there would support something like that. But at this present point in time, there's a lot of us out there that hate and spy at the UN. I'm going to say this much. My dad created a painting that's hanging up in the UN. He said that was the biggest mistake of his life. He regrets it. It's called The Children of the World. That's his painting. And he said, if he had his way, he'll take that sucker down. I'm not the only one that's been saying that. There's a lot of us who want this nation out of the UN. We're tired of funding, you know, a worthless piece of garbage. I just wish the politicians in criminal hell and some of the others would just get the hint, you know, and tell the Rockefellers, who's ever behind this. We don't want to belong to something like that. We're tired of it.
How likely is that to happen, do you think, Ambassador?
Well, I know a lot of people share the views of the caller, and it's I'm sure it's very frustrating. That's one reason I want to shift our contributions to being purely voluntary. I would favor expanding NATO, for example, to include Japan and Australia and Israel, other democracies around the world. I think that's an alternative. I think we want, from the U.S. point of view, as many alternative foreign policy instruments as we can have.
Well, what we should not be doing is rewarding, you know, two-bit dictatorships like in Venezuela or most of Africa and rewarding them with tax dollars all the time and favoritism. We got to tell these people.
I agree with you on that.
This, you know, your behavior is going to cost you. It's going to cost you dearly. You know, we can't go in there and create, you know, clean up messes all the time. But why should we keep on funding these people? I mean, the people in general are tired of that. They're tired of the UN. And they're tired of a lot of things the State Department's doing. The public is fed up with it.
Well,
and they look at the public as a bunch of idiots and fools. No, we're the bosses. We're the ones who pay the salary.
Well, that raises an interesting question for the ambassador, I think. What can and should the average American, the AJs, the Renees, what can and should we do with respect to the United Nations? I mean, I know you call for a cultural revolution in your book. What is it that you're talking about that we, the average American, can and should do?
Well, I think you've got to let your members of Congress know how unhappy you are. Right now, you know, they're considering a huge omnibus appropriations bill in Washington. You can read in today's newspapers that the proposed budget for the UN is going to go up 25% in the next 2 years at a time when we're facing budget difficulties here at home. Let your members of Congress know what you think about these large increases in the UN budget. If they don't hear from us, they don't get concerned about it.
But we have, and they're not listening, and they ignore us. I mean, it seems like the only people they care about is either A, the people on criminal hill, or Hollyweird.
Well, let them know in November.
That's the best you can do. This is their attitude. You've been up there. They're going to push us a little bit too far, and we will fight back. And the best way to fight back sometimes is with the pocketbook. You're dealing with a population that's highly educated. We're tired of the mentality, and we're tired of the attitude. When we tell them no to something, they better listen.
Right. Well, like he said, we need to, with our pocketbook and as well with at the voting booth next November.
Well, thank you, sir.
Thank you, AJ.
We appreciate it. Okay, go ahead, Miami Ed. It's your turn.
Truly,
yeah, I think this is
going
to have to be my last call here, at least on this
you
segment.
Thank you. Fantastic guests. Ambassador, why is it that the United States, since Korea, has always been under? We've been fighting wars with one hand behind our back. What is to prevent us right now, when the next time Assad or Manajin gives a speech, to drop a 500-pound guided bomb right at the podium?
Well,
haven't they done worse to us, sir?
Yeah, now look, the question of how you deal with these rogue states who are trying to pursue nuclear weapons is a critical question. There's no doubt about it, and it's something we've got to hear from our presidential candidates about, because it's something they're going to have to face once they take office, no doubt about it.
Also, I've heard that we do hot pursuit into Iran and into Syria. Our troops will do that, and they will chase people into those. But why should that be a question? I mean, why should we be fighting under the same way we fought in Vietnam and Korea?
I think we definitely need to make sure our troops are not affected, and I understand what you're saying.
What's this garbage about we cannot torture theirs? During World War II, it was tit for tat. If the Japs treated our American POWs terrible,
that's a complex subject, and I'd love to get into it. I'm afraid I've got to take off here because I've got another commitment. But I look forward to coming back on if that's at all possible.
Yeah. Renee,
yes, absolutely.
Truly marvelous guest.
Thank you very much. All right. Well, we'd like to thank Ambassador John Bolton for joining us. He's been described as one of America's greatest advocates. You can read all about what he's talking about in his latest book. It's called Surrender is Not an Option, Defending America at the United Nations and Abroad. Thank you so much for joining us this afternoon, Ambassador
Bolton. Thank you very much. It was great to be here. Thanks again.
Thank you.